going to start the meeting. Please join me in the flag salute. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, I think we have three operations. We're going to open up for Siskiyou County. Wendy, do you want to take a roll call?
Okay, all righty. Supervisor Ogren?
Present.
Supervisor Kopseff?
Here.
Supervisor Chris?
Present.
And Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
It looks like Ray Haupt is absent today.
Yes.
Murat County, we're open up?
Yes. Murat County, Monday, May 22nd, 2023. Please call for the roll.
Supervisor Ho?
Present.
Supervisor Cavasso?
Present.
Supervisor Starr?
Present.
Supervisor Byrne?
Present.
Supervisor Rhodes?
Present.
Commissioner DeGroot?
And good morning. I will open the Klamath County, Klamath County Board of Commissioners. I'm Klamath County Commissioner Derek DeGroot, and my colleague, Commissioner Minty, is joining us virtually. So,
great. Thank you. We do have one. This is time for presentations from the public. We do have one. Larry Nicholson.
Yeah, thank you. What's that?
Speak of the microphone. Podium. Can hear you, the people online.
Gotcha.
Everyone got to make sure they have the mics on.
Good morning.
Morning.
Can you hear me okay? I'm Larry Nicholson. I am the executive director of the Upper Klamath Basin Ag Collaborative. We are the only entity in the Upper Basin that has been able to put together, start bringing together agriculture in the Upper Basin for the main purpose of establishing some programs for ranch resiliency. How do we get ag to survive in the Upper Basin with little or no water? It was apparent that there's a lot of money available through a lot of different funds, bill money, BOR, ag law money, to get projects done. One of the things I think we all have in common is the frustration of the amount of phosphorus that's going down the spray, entering the lake, and ended up going down to the Klamath River. Realizing that the funding was all tied to restoration, what we did was that we provided we established what was an opportunity for landowners to, through an educational process, to really understand what the reality was of getting water or not. One of the problems up there is that surface water has been shut off for 5 years, and groundwater, Oregon Water Resources, will be probably shutting down pumps within 3 to 4 years, so that all the water will be off. So landowner incentives, in order to restore the Spread River to its natural form, it's going to take a significant amount of elevation change to get the water table back up to where it used to be, where it's actually going to be good for agriculture. We support that plan, and so we have put in a request for bill funding with the help of RES, who's doing the restoration on the Klamath River, to do a design engineering on the Sprague River, and we're going to have an 8-year program for landowner incentive packages to get involved in this, to actually restore the Sprague River and get phosphorus reduction by 40%. And our plan is to get that done in 8 years. So I want to let you guys know that because it hasn't been done. At the table we also have, which is one of the most important people, is the tribes. Klamath tribes are engaged with us, and we're pretty excited about the prospect of moving ahead on this plan.
Time.
Got to wrap it up.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else in the general public, please, 3 minutes. State your name for the record, please.
name is Jeff Boyd, and I'm current vice president of the Klamath Water User Association. And I'm only here today to thank the commissioners and supervisors for the efforts that you made to help us all. It is greatly appreciated by the ag community, and I thank you for doing these meetings, for being here, working as hard as you do. And that's the only reason I came today. I have a little bit of water. I need to get out there and keep farming. We have been watering. And with that note, I just want to say thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else from the general public? Okay, seeing none, we're going to move on to, for Siskiyou County, item 3, consent agenda. Board's wishes?
Move to approve the consent agenda.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
You know this, Wendy?
And with help, Dobson.
With help, Dobson.
Thank you.
Monroe County?
Yes. Consent agenda?
Motion to approve?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Anything?
We don't do that.
You don't do it? Guys are odd.
They already signed it.
Yeah. All right, we're going to move on to item 4, departmental requests. Item 8, county administration. Elizabeth?
Thank you. Is this working? Elizabeth Nielsen, deputy county administrator for Siskiyou County. And I appreciate all the, one of the boards and the commissioners being here today. I know that you guys have busy schedules. And I appreciate everybody in the room, and the reason that the three counties came together today is to discuss the various issues going on in the Klamath watershed. As I think most of you guys know, over the last few years, the tri-counties, which is made up of board members and Commissioner DeGroote from the three counties, have been working together to address the various issues going on in the watershed. And to provide a background and give us an idea of what's going on today, I've asked Paul Simmons, Executive Director of Klamath Water Users, to provide a presentation. And so with that, I will turn it over to him, unless you guys have any questions for me. Okay, perfect.
Absolutely having an impact where it needs to have an impact, and you all engaged in the way you are. And you know, this is just the coolest thing for the three to meet together, and we just again are so grateful. You heard from Jeff earlier. So I'm Paul Simmons from Klamath Water Users Association. Heard from Jeff Boyd, our vice president. Our president Tracy Liske is sitting there at that table. You may hear from some other people here. Tracy's also on the Klamath Drainage District Board of Supervisors. I see John Crawford, president of Tule Lake Irrigation District Board of Directors, right on schedule, right on time. We planned this. Brad Purdy, manager of the district, Gary Wright, director, and Walter Woodhouse, who's a PID board of director member as well. So I know they're all really appreciative and what have you. And you may hear from some of these folks. We also have Scott White, the manager of Klamath Drainage District here, Gene Souza, manager of Klamath Irrigation District here. So it sounds like talk, but it's not. It's just genuinely sincere, and we can't say enough about how much you all are doing. So I did make a little presentation here. Some of this is familiar ground, and then a little bit to maybe kind of look behind the curtain a little bit, some of the things that may not be as familiar to you, and we can talk about it, and I'll answer any questions. We all know where we are. I'm criticized sometimes for drawing that circle a little bit too big around the climate part of where we are. And we will be talking about affecting the delivery of water from Upper Klamath Lake to lands in Modoc, Siskiyou, and Klamath County, California, or these irrigated lands. And speaking for myself, I hope everyone had the same feeling. It was nice to see some green for a change on the way here this morning, and that's just a good thing. Upper Klamath Lake is the main water source for most of the project and the part of the project that's of interest today. This little cartoon that I use a lot of times for talks like this to just simplify the situation for people who aren't as familiar. If you see Upper Klamath Lake at the top, that is, our water source for irrigation. You see arrows going out to the right there, which are diversions of water for the Klamath project. There's water diverted straight out of the lake from a canal for use in the project. There's water diverted just below the lake for other uses in the Klamath project. And that's how we get our water. You can see a little indication of Link River Dam at the bottom of the Upper Klamath Lake. And that's how the system is designed to work. So the current constraints on our water availability have to do with suckers in Upper Klamath Lake. And we argue about how much water has to be retained in Upper Klamath Lake for the benefit of suckers. But of course, to the extent that water has to be retained in Upper Klamath Lake for suckers, that's water that's unavailable to the project. Moving down into California and below Iron Gate Dam, we have some coho in the main stem river. Of course, we talked a great deal about how much water has to be made available for coho, and to the extent water has to be released down the Klamath River in California for coho, that's also water that's not available for irrigation. Since 2019, we've had a new player on the scene, which is the southern resident Florida whale, and roughly during certain times of the year, about 2% of the killer whale diet is Klamath chinook. And so, using that logic, NIMS has also required that there be water flowing down the river for chinook for benefit of killer whale consumption of chinook. I'm not editorializing on any of these things here, and just laying this out. So these things are the reason that the last 4 years have been so terrible for irrigation water availability. And we've had three years of drought. Most of you know, in comparable years of drought, we've had virtually 100% water supplies. 2021, there was zero water delivered through the project. Years that were comparable to 2021 were 1992 and 1994. Very, very close to full irrigation deliveries. So our shortage, you can say what you want about drought, our shortage is 100% due to the Federal Administration of the Endangered Species Act as compared to how things used to be. The logic that, ultimate logic that drives operating the Klamath Project, Link River Dam, and the diversions and the direction to districts about diversion, basically, this Klamath Project is responsible to provide enough water for listed species, enough water in the judgment of National Marine Fisheries Service for coho and whales, and for the endangered suckers in the judgment of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. So we'll talk about this a little bit more later, but that's just basically your reclamation. You have to provide enough water in the judgment of these other agencies for the benefit of fish. What that has led to is really the project being operated based on a group of formulas that divide up the water. These formulas are they're driven by, quote, how much water fish need, the various species need. And they're also driven to a significant degree by uncertainty regarding the inflow of water that can be expected into Upper Klamath Lake. So the total water available is defined by how much flows into Upper Klamath Lake during a given period. And depending on where you are in the season, there can be a good amount of uncertainty about how much water you're going to have to work with. Even now, as we sit here, you know, we could have rain later. It could get real hot later. Things could change that would have some effect on the amount of inflow to Upper Klamath Lake. And, you know, from my simple perspective, not an engineer or anything else, these formulas that run the project are driven by how much water fish need and projected inflow and uncertainties of projected inflow into Upper Klamath Lake. They're not really driven by how much water irrigation needs or how much water National Wildlife Refuges need, even though this is a pure reclamation project. So this is the more dense part, I suppose, but so you understand, how do they, you know, we hear this word about the Klamath project allocation, how much water is going to be provided for irrigation. Basically, at least in theory, this is how they come up with that number. It's a series of formulas. So in the spring, a little sooner than now, the formula looks and says, well, how much water is in Upper Klamath Lake now? And how much water do I expect to have come into Upper Klamath Lake for the remainder of the season? And based on that, and the circumstances of this year, and mind you, this formula is affected by fish needs, I set a target end of season elevation for Upper Klamath Lake. So this is what we would like to see, where we would like to see Upper Klamath Lake come out. This is something you're determining in the spring. All right. So that's step one, target elevation for Upper Klamath Lake. Then you look again to see, well, how much water is in the lake and how much water is expected to come in. And to the extent that is more than, that provides more water than the target, there's a block of water that's available for other purposes. That's called the Upper Klamath Lake supply. So we have a target, we have an Upper Klamath Lake supply sitting on top of it. That's determined by a formula. Another formula allocates how much water from the Upper Klamath Lake supply goes to the river and how much goes to the project. The river is called the environmental water account. The project is called the project supply. So that's, and using that logic, there's not necessarily, so there's a supply that the river will get, a supply that the project will get, but what if Upper Klamath Lake doesn't meet the target elevation? At least as this was designed, that's okay. Upper Klamath Lake was supposed to take the flexibility at the end of the year because you're more or less, if we're here guaranteeing the river a certain amount, guaranteeing the project a certain amount, Upper Klamath Lake takes the flexibility. It can end up not at the target, but wherever it ends up. But you can predict where that will be. So that's the series of formulas that theoretically run the Klamath project. What that results in this year is, well, no, let me just go back to this. So that is what they do now. And again, that's a gross oversimplification, but that's what they would do now. What we would believe the agency should do is, instead of just saying how much of these three buckets does each, how much of these buckets, how much water in each of these three buckets, what the agencies are really supposed to do under the Endangered Species Act is to say, what I propose to do cause jeopardy to this species? And if so, I'm going to have to mitigate that impact. But under the approach that we think the agency should follow, it's not on the Klamath project to just guarantee quantities of water for the lake and the river. Because you all have copies of our most recent newsletter, and you'll see that during the 2021 irrigation season, Klamath Project is required to provide significantly more flow to the river than actually being in the Upper Klamath Lake during about a 7-month period. So how is that? Why is that necessary to prevent the project from causing jeopardy? You avoid that question if all you're doing is doling out water. And I hope that makes some degree of sense, but this is federal approach to the Endangered Species Act on the Klamath project. This is the, putting aside arguments about fish science, in my view, this is the fundamental shortcoming, is it doesn't bother to ask what's the effect of the project. All that it does is ask, how much water am I going to give to these other uses? So, in any event, the current approach, as applied this year, says that the, this was announced Friday, says that the project will get 260,000 acre feet, unless that would result in upper Klamath Lake elevations going below 41.5 feet. Now, earlier I described the logic and the approach and how the lake takes the flexibility. That really has changed in reality, and so there's a hard minimum elevation for upper Klamath Lake this year, higher than it's ever been. The project supply is 260,000 acre feet. That's where we are now. Just taking a step back, the basic steps that I described to you come from the what's called the interim operations plan. And had the interim operations plan been followed this year, Bureau of Reclamation around April 3rd would have announced 285,000 acre feet, with the possibility of that number increasing. Instead, about mid-April, they announced a preliminary allocation of 215,000 acre feet, and then Friday they announced 260,000 acre feet, and you say, well, how do you get there? And respectfully, you just make it up. That's all this is. These elements, from our perspective, by and large, these things are a political gesture to the downriver folks. But there's a lawsuit filed where the court was being asked to require a minimum of 4139.2. That lawsuit occurred on May 10th. It was quite clear the judge was not going to require 4139.2, but they did it anyway. So, you know, we at Klamath Water Users are going to ask if we can get our money back, because we stepped in to defend against requiring 4139.2, not really appreciating at that time that the government was just going to agree to do that. So, you know, I think everyone here has the same question. Despite all of our frustrations, how are we going to get out of this? What we hear so much is, we got dams coming out, and we got all this money, and there's money, and it's feeling like taking the dams out and spending the money are the only goals that there is. You're done. That's not based on solving any problems or making the basin more stable. It's not clear if there's a meaningful goal or plan to make the basin more stable. So to the extent we are talking to the federal administration, we are begging them to take an approach to ESA compliance that is based on the project being responsible for its impacts and only its impacts, instead of the guarantor of water in the basin, number one. And number two, we're urging them to do whatever is necessary, whatever can be done, to incentivize parties up and down the basin to actually do business and solve problems. And not just making too much code about that, it's not clear that all the important parties and interests in the basin really see a need to do business with agriculture. So there need to be some sorts of carrots or sticks so that everyone's inclined to work together and develop some permanent solutions. That's a big picture of what I have to say. The other thing I quite often show at talks I give about the Klamath project is my executive summary, my summation of everything I have to say. But there we are. So if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them. Gary? So, you're not running the meeting.
I'm gonna give him a moment. Go ahead. Ask a question.
I have a question.
Ask it.
had a chance to challenge the fact that he's not following the Idaho King in the lawsuit. So what Director Wright's question is the court at the hearing that I described basically asked the federal attorneys, are you committed to follow the interim operation plan this year? Are you committed to follow it? And they didn't actually directly answer that question. There was actually a photograph of me writhing on the floor at their KWA office because they wouldn't answer the question. But what the court said, this hearing is still open, was, well, send me a copy of the operations plan, and then people have a right to come in and object and ask me to do something about it. And so I think Jerry's question is, well, will my port users come in and object because they did not follow the interim operations plan, and they did not follow it to our detriment? I mean, we'll make that known. I mean, I think other parties will say, well, you don't have a complaint asking for anything. You've got to ask for relief based on some complaint. And I was talking with Tracy about this a little bit earlier. What are we collectively going to do? I think we need to have a discussion about that. But it's probably a political issue that needs a political approach, but we need to figure it out.
Okay, before we continue, I just want to acknowledge in the House, Aaron Ryan from Congressman LaMalfa's office, Bruce Ross from California Senator Brian Dawley's office. Thank you guys for showing up. Appreciate that.
Yeah, and if you all could, I would just note that Ed Spott, another Tule Lake Irrigation District board member, walking off too.
All right, we're going to bring it back to my board to see if there's any questions. Mike? Go ahead, Mike. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Simmons, for just a couple of quick questions. On the one slide that you have here, the project supply determined, and in parentheses you have environmental water account. What percentage of that is of the total flow?
In recent years it has varied, you know, depending on the hydrology. I'll just use one example. If you were 2021, so the environmental water account is the amount of water released to the river from March through September or October. September. So in that year, the environmental water account compared to inflow was about 120% of the inflow during that period of time of the irrigation season, which says to you we were releasing storage to meet the environmental water account. During wintertime, there's no such thing as an environmental water account, but there is water going down the river. I think in 2020 or 2021, 2022, 85% of the inflow at least went down the river.
And then on this year's project supply, the slide with 260 acre feet that was announced, I think the Klamath Water Users annual meeting, when Mr. Payne announced the 215,000 acre feet, I thought I heard him say there would be no less than that. That it was, I don't want to call it a guarantee, but he said there would be no less than 215,000. On the 260, though, I'm reading from what you have there that unless the lake level goes below the 4139.2. So does that mean that they could take away from that 260 potentially?
Yes.
Would they take below the 215 if that went that way as well?
The answer is yes on paper, but realistically, with the hydrology we have, the probability is extraordinarily low going below 215. You know, it's hard to foresee. I don't know about 260. They say that would be met, but they aren't co-signing any loans for these producers about which that involved.
And then lastly, on the formula for the inflow, and we heard earlier from Mr. Nicholson that there's been water off, I'll call it the landscape in the Sprague and above for the last 5 years. How does the federal government use water off the landscape that now comes in stream to where the inflows, at least in my mind, are less than they should be because the upper watershed isn't fully charged. So that runoff that's coming is, at least in my mind, groundwater recharging where it can, but those inflows historically are probably lower than they used to be when there was full irrigation going on. Is there a way that the federal government accounts for that in the formula that they use for inflows today? Because in my mind, they've manufactured the inflow, you know, by drying up the upper watershed.
Yeah, I mean, these things are all based on models, right? And the models are, quote, trained based on past data as opposed to, you know, so realistically, no. To some degree, during the winter, they were questioning the reliability of the models, the inflow models. And to a degree, in this 260,000, they more or less said, well, we're not going to use the forecast that our interim operations plan says we will use. We're going to use a more conservative forecast. They're using a more conservative forecast with respect to the project supply only and not with respect to the environmental water account.
And then you said that the level is the highest that it's ever been or set for this year. What historically is it normally, roughly?
The biolog has varied over time. But what's regarded now as the biological minimum, so to speak, is 4137.7.
That was 2013.
Yeah, I know. But in terms of what the suckers need, 4137.7 something.
Okay.
That's for the passage in the Pelican Bay with So you say, what's the difference between that and 4139.2? It's on the order of 90,000 acre feet. Off the top of my head, that's water that would have been available under the 2013 biological amendment.
Okay.
It's not available now.
Okay. Thank you.
Supervisor Chris.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. So the last successful recruitment year of sucker fish, I believe, was 1994. Was it 92 or 94? 1992. I think the lake level at that time was 4137.7. So they keep, you know, having this higher lake level. There's more a statement than it is a question. But they keep having this higher lake level, and this has proven very successful over the last 30 years. You know, 80% of the population dropped from the sucker fish. Just relate that, you know, they have they ever gone down to 4137.7 since 94, 92, I believe?
94.
94?
To 4136.9.
Oh, it did?
That neighborhood, yeah.
And that was another?
Subsequent to that, someone here knows that, and it's not me, Supervisor.
Okay.
Almost everyone out here.
And then any application, I welcome your opinion, the National Academy of Science reports, Chair Lewis report for the sucker fish in the early 2000s and mid-2000s. Do you think anything's been done by the feds in regards to recognizing that or utilizing those studies?
No, I do not. I respect, I'm not a fish biologist, but I do observe history, and this is, I think, what's really hard for people around here, because we know some of these subjects are complicated, but we're not done, and there's no, you know, it's just, if you look at just flat-out data, and it fails, and you know, the strategy fails, it is so hard to accept, and so hard to find someone who will listen and act, and, you know, I'm not an advocate. I also believe that.
I think that is one thing we've done in lobbying. One of the frustrations we do have is for agriculture here, for the farmers, for the communities, for Tule Lake. They can understand if the water was being raised, it was actually saving a species. When it was not resulting in it at all, it's a very hard pill to swallow. That's all for me.
Supervisor Ogren, anything?
These two gentlemen are the ones that are on this Tri-Counties board and are brilliant when it comes to the biology because they've studied it for so long, so I won't belabor that. The relationship aspect of this is what always strikes me as being such a hindrance. We've been at this for so long, and we can't seem to get past the fact that we can't understand how to come to an agreement. And somehow, some way, no matter what the biology is, no matter what the environment gives us, we have to figure out how to make all that work for all of us. And I haven't figured out a way to do that at all. And apparently none of us have either, over time. And I think that, more than anything, is our biggest challenge. We have fantastic biologists. We can't control nature, clearly. So we have to figure out how to sit down around a table and talk amongst ourselves and be able to figure it out. I don't know that we'll ever be able to do it, but we have to keep working at it. And I think that is our biggest struggle. And I'll just leave it at that.
Turn it over to Modoc County.